We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Chicago Bears select.
Welcome to Picks for Polls, presented by The Bear Report. Your number one source for everything Chicago Bears draft news, analysis, scouting reports, and more. Presented by Blue Wire Pods. And now, making their way to the podium, Andrew Freeman and Usaid Koshal.
Joining us now on the Picks for Polls podcast, we've got Pro Football Focus's very own Trevor Sikkema joining the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. He's going to break down the 2024 NFL draft for us, the Bears offseason, and a whole lot more, especially pertaining to the quarterback situation here in Chicago. But Trey, thanks so much for hopping on here. How's it going?
It's going good. I appreciate you having me on the show. Chicago is a team where you get to have a lot of takes on everything that they've been doing free agency-wise, draft-wise, and everything. So I'm looking forward to talking about it with you.
Yeah, and I don't know how plugged you are into the Bears fan base, but it seems like every single time Caleb Williams' name is on Twitter, I mean, it's always Bears fans in the comments, and the same can kind of be said for Justin Fields. Like, it's kind of been this wild offseason. I think for those of us that kind of cover the draft or cover any sort of team or just cover the league in general, I feel like we're all at the point where it's kind of just like, hey, you know, can April 25th get here fast enough so we can kind of just get Caleb Williams in a navy blue and orange jersey and just kind of move on from all this?
It is funny that you say that. I host a draft podcast with Connor Rogers called the NFL Stock Exchange Podcast. And you know, we try to, at the end of every season, do like a fix your franchise episode. So Chicago was one of those teams that we did that episode for. And, you know, normally when we do those shows, we're only talking about one team. So not everybody who listens to the show is always, you know, tuning into those episodes. And they generally do pretty well. Well, the Bears episode did like better than mock drafts that we have had to, because so many people care about the Bears. And it's, I have learned just through covering that team from a draft perspective, that it is absolutely one of the biggest and most vocal fan bases in the NFL. So anytime you have that, and then of course you're talking about quarterback, there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of takes to get off.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of learned this growing up in the Chicagoland area, that when it comes to the Bears and the off season and just football in general, I mean, you'll be walking down the street and see someone wearing a jersey of a random running back from like 2005, and then someone will remember the last name and be like, oh, so-and-so had a 32-yard run against a Sunday night, you know, against so-and-so team on Sunday Night Football back in 2009, and this was a quarterback that was under center. So it's certainly interesting. But getting into some of the draft talk here, I mean, it's really interesting, right? The mock drafts and everything that we put together. And, you know, these NFL teams put together too, running through thousands of scenarios. Because if you're Ryan Poles, I mean, you have probably the most complicated decision on your hands. You have a quarterback in Justin Fields who some people say, well, he's kind of run his course here in Chicago. Others are saying, well, bring him back for year four, surround him with more weapons. But if you're Ryan Poles, what are you doing with the first overall pick?
It's pretty simple for me. I'm drafting Caleb Williams. I'm not thinking twice about it. And look, I'll admit that Justin Fields got better this past year, but even what we saw from Fields this year, you would still need to see more from him to feel really confident about him being a long-term starter for your team. So if you think, okay, well, it's a risk taking Caleb Williams at number one overall because we haven't seen him play in the NFL yet, but it's also a risk to still believe that Justin Fields, even from what we saw last year, has to continue to really get better in a lot of different areas. Well, then I'm going to take the quarterback where I get to reset the rookie contract window. You know, I don't have to feel like I make this decision in a year, or you're going to be in a situation like the New York Giants were, where they were caught in no man's land and they said, well, can't really get rid of Daniel Jones because we don't really have another option. We don't have better options that are out there to bring in. Then you end up giving Jones this contract. And I think that they already regret giving him that contract. They probably did earlier than that, even earlier down the timeline. So you just don't want to put yourself in that situation. And if Justin goes somewhere else and is able to be a starting quarterback, that's great. But I don't really have those doubts about Caleb Williams being able to do that at the NFL level. So if I was picking number one overall, I'd be taking Caleb and I wouldn't be thinking twice about it.
So why Caleb at number one overall? Because it seems like, I know for a fact the Bears met with every single one of these top four, top five quarterbacks in Indianapolis. And obviously I think that it's kind of generic in a sense to say, well, a team's picking number one overall, that means that they're going to go quarterback, because that's, again, typically how things have played out. But this is, you know, a pretty solid class from what we've seen. Like, we know Caleb Williams has been really good in two different programs, USC and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Not too far behind him is Drake May. And so that, you know, kind of has to, as an evaluator, when you're looking at these guys, you kind of have to be able to say, and I know the arguments come up in terms of, hey, is there a chance that maybe the Bears pass on Williams because they believe Drake May, in terms of his intangibles, his athleticism, his accuracy, the person that he is, may be a better fit for the Bears locker room than Caleb?
Yeah, I don't know whether one of them is going to be a better connection for the locker room. I think that's a question that I wouldn't be able to answer. But, you know, when I've just been going through film evaluations on these guys, I very clearly have Caleb Williams at QB1. I very clearly have Drake May as QB2. And I say that more as praise for Drake May at this point, because a lot of people are talking about Jaden Daniels or JJ McCarthy potentially as options. But those are one and two for me pretty easily. When I look at Caleb, just what he's able to do as a playmaker type of a quarterback outside of structure, it just is not replicated anywhere else. Even for guys with good mobility like Drake May, like JJ McCarthy, and even with guys with true dual threat ability in Jaden Daniels, what Caleb Williams brings to the table and what he could do outside of the pocket, keeping his eyes downfield, making plays, making magic, it's rare. It really is rare stuff. I'm not going to say Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to bring up Patrick Mahomes' name because it's too high of a comp, but it's hard to replicate that anywhere else, even including the NFL level. And I think that he's just a special quarterback in that regard. So to me, I'd be no question taking Caleb at number one. And Drake, I think, is fantastic as well. Like, if there was a reality where Chicago wanted to trade down from one to two and get a pretty nice haul from the Washington Commanders, who I know would love to go up and get Caleb Williams because he played football just outside of Washington, so it'd be kind of like a homecoming for him. You know, if they wanted to do that, maybe I understand that if you're comfortable with both of these guys, but you got to come away with one of them. And if I got the chance between one of these two players, I'd be taking Williams. I just think his talent level is there's too much rarity in what he does. I know I've used that word a couple of times now, but like, it's just, he's such a unique prospect. I think the Drake May can also be a fantastic prospect, but just what Caleb brings to the table, I think, is special.
Yeah, and it's hard to sit here and not look at, you know, what Caleb Williams did when he took over for Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma, and then the last 2 years at USC, and kind of, you know, say, well, especially I think this past season at USC, there was a lot that was wrong around him, but he still managed to kind of show up every single week and make something special happen. You don't really, I think, even get to see a lot of quarterbacks that are successful in one college program, and then they kind of move over to another program, albeit following the head coach, and then they have a high level of success there. But you mentioned those pro comparisons. I mean, let's just talk this entire draft class in general. Where do you in your evaluations think this stacks up to maybe the draft classes that we've seen from the last 2 to 3 years. Because I feel like in this class, I mean, everyone's going to focus on the quarterbacks. You've got a solid edge rushing group. Wide receiver, to me, is about as deep as it's been. Mm-hmm. Same with tight end. It just seems like it's a really good draft for defense, too.
Yeah, no, I think the class overall is really strong. And I think that it's really strong at the premium positions. And quarterback, wide receiver, you mentioned, I would say offensive line as well. There's a lot of really great offensive tackles, really great interior offensive linemen, guys with a lot of versatility. I think corner as well, really deep, a lot of really good corners, not just outside guys either, but a lot of really good slot guys in this class. Guys like Mike Samristow from Michigan, Max Melton from Rutgers, Javon Bullard from Georgia. Like, there's just a lot of future starters in the secondary, especially at corner. I think at both of those positions. And so anytime that you have a draft where you're really nailing it at the premium positions, and that's, you know, I think edge rushers lighter than it has been in years past, but you still got three guys at the very top to get really excited about in Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and Latu. So I think that this class is pretty strong in the high position, the positions that carry the highest value, I should say. It's a little bit lighter at running back. It's lighter at linebacker, lighter at interior defensive line outside of the top two guys, lighter at safety, lighter at tight end, a good tight ends at the top, but not super deep really when it comes to guys that you know are going to be tight end one, tight end two, heavy rotational guys at the next level. So those positions, it's a little bit weaker. It's not nearly as deep, but of those premium positions, there's a lot of guys to like.
Yeah, and it's good need, or it's, I'm sorry, I should say it's a really good year to have to, you know, draft a quarterback and then instantly go ahead and add, you know, a couple receivers to kind of build out that young nucleus and that young core on offense. But I think it's pretty much a given as to what the Bears are going to do at first overall, mm-hmm. right? Everybody kind of knows that if you're sitting in Ryan Poles' chair, you're looking at this and you're saying, hey, listen, I tried to make it work with Fields, a guy who I didn't even inherit, a guy who I inherited. I didn't draft him. We tried to make it work for 2 years. It didn't work. Let's go ahead and let me get my own swing at Caleb Williams, who's going to be my own guy now. And I know for a fact that, you know, for all the good Ryan Poles has done the last two seasons in Chicago, I feel like, you know, from a draft perspective and from a team building perspective, this is going to be the offseason that really defines the type of general manager he is.
Yeah, and I think that that free agency class also kind of speaks to that. You know, when I look at Chicago's roster after the early parts of free agency, man, I mean, I look at their defense and Poles' cards are kind of on the table here. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all whatsoever, but like, look at their secondary, okay? You signed Jalen Johnson, you drafted Jaquan Brisker, you drafted Tyreek Stevenson, you drafted Kyler Gordon, you bring in Kevin Byer. Those are all guys who are starting of your doing. You got the linebackers, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, spent a lot of money on them the year before. You personally brought those guys in. Gervin Dexter, Zach Pickens, you traded for Montez Sweat. Basically every single spot on the defensive line you have brought in. Kind of like you said, like, these are Ryan Poles' guys. Like, he's kind of turned the roster over to exactly what he has wanted to over the last couple of years. The offensive line, you got Darnell Wright, you got Braxton Jones, you got Tevin Jenkins. You bring in DeAndre Swift, you bring in Gerald Everett to go along with Cole Kmet. You got DJ Moore at wide receiver. You know that they're going to add some more in that area as well. But like, this team is, I don't want to say like complete. I'm not saying like they're about to make a run in a Super Bowl, but I look at this roster, and if you give me Caleb Williams at number one, and then with the other first round pick, whether it's at number nine or maybe they're jumping up a little bit, you come away with a Malik Nabers or a Romo Odunze, all of a sudden I look at the Chicago Bears team and I go, they should make the playoffs. This should be a playoff team next year. Absolutely. Like, the bar should be high, man. Matt Eberflus has no excuse to say like, you know, first year with a rookie quarterback, team's too talented. Team is talented enough. The NFC, I think, is up for grabs enough to where Chicago should be making the playoffs next year. So you're right. I think that it's kind of all in on Poles' identity with the guys that he has brought in, and it's not going to be perfect next year, but it certainly should be good enough to compete against a lot of different teams.
Yeah, and as you know, we saw with the CJ Stroud experiment in Houston is that it's kind of a long season, and you know, everyone at first wanted to use the kind of situation that the Chiefs put Patrick Mahomes in as a way of saying, hey, that's a template, and you know, expectations are now sped up, and you need to know whether the guys, whether quarterback is the guy going into year two. But then in comes CJ Stroud, who kind of debunks that trend and is like, hey, if you play your cards right and you build this thing out the right way, I mean, you can be in the playoffs as a rookie quarterback in year one, essentially. But you talk about that ninth overall pick. I mean, that to me is one of the ultimate wild cards when I look at the general top 10. Because, you know, there's teams like the Vikings at 11. You got the Broncos and the Raiders sitting there at 12 and 13. And again, you know, those are teams that don't really have a clear-cut solution at quarterback. All three of them have been linked to Justin Fields at some point. But the reality of it, I think, is also that if you start looking at number nine, I mean, the Bears don't have a pick from 9 to 73. It's a really deep enough class to where if a Neighbors or Odunze are off the board, then you're Chicago, you may have to consider trading down to recoup some of those extra picks, because there's really good wide receivers that are worth just kind of waiting for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you with the wild card part of it for sure. They're a team that could trade up. They're a team that could trade back. Obviously, like you said, they'd like to recoup a little bit of draft capital there, but.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You still got to get a really good football player, right? I mean, like it's a bonus first round pick for sure. But I'm trying to paint the reality of again, you're taking a quarterback at number one, and then if you could get one of those top two receivers of Malik Neighbors or Rome Odunze, that'd be the dream. Brock Bowers is like kind of in that conversation, but I don't really think he is anymore now that you signed Gerald Everett. So to me, you can trade down, especially if there's a team that's really wanting to trade up for like an offensive tackle, a quarterback, like you mentioned, if you're still within range of that. Maybe it is a team that wants to trade up for one of those wide receivers and they're giving you an offer you can't refuse. But even though we love draft picks, we'd love to have more throws of the dartboard, if you will, you still got to get a really good football player. You've got to capitalize on having two top 10 picks, getting lucky that Carolina was as bad as they were, and then still having the number nine overall selection too. So a lot of different options for them there. I still like being more aggressive than being less aggressive. I still like the idea of, hey, call the Chargers at number five, see what the price is like to move up from nine to five. Maybe the same thing with the Tennessee Titans, if the Titans would like to move back, you know, like just something like that to keep your options open, because I'd rather keep my foot on the gas pedal at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the big things is, because I had a chance to look at your post-Super Bowl mock draft earlier today, and you mocked, you know, Caleb Williams at one, Malik Neighbors at nine. You mentioned Neighbors and Odunze earlier. What kind of went into, and I know it's kind of like it's been a month since you wrote this mock draft, but what went into the decision for you to basically say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go with Neighbors over Odunze at the ninth overall pick for the Bears as it pertains to that roster building aspect with Caleb Williams?
Well, I don't think that there is a, hey, this guy fits way better than the other guy kind of a thing. I think both of them could be really good players in Chicago. I mean, when you look at what Caleb Williams has been able to do in Lincoln Riley's offense over the last couple of years, like, yeah, it's a lot of those big throws. But and I think that when you think about a vertical offense, Rome Odunze comes to my mind first. despite all the big passes that Malik also got from Jaden Daniels this past year, just because Washington's offense was such a spread out vertical offense. It feels like it's a very familiar thing for what Caleb Williams might have going to the next level. And LSU started to do a lot of that too this year, especially since Jaden really started to hit on a lot of those passes. But to me, it's not like a I'd rather have this guy over this guy kind of a thing. I think both of them are really impactful receivers, and it might just come down to a strength preference. Now, here's the thing. I don't think they're going to have the opportunity to choose between one of them. I think it'll probably be, hey, one of them's falling a little bit lower. You know, they're in range. We can trade up. We can go get one of them, and they'll be happy with either. But if everything was equal, I do wonder if Odunze would be their selection over Neighbors simply because of just body type. You know, they have DJ Moore. They've got Tyler Scott. They've got some smaller guys, but Odunze can be that on the line of scrimmage X type of a receiver. Feels like the type of guy that they were trying to get with Chase Claypool, right? They wanted this guy to be a big, fast blocker, good strength, and Claypool just, it was a scouting miss from them when evaluating Claypool, because he's not that type of physical receiver. So to me, if they had their choice between the two, I think they'd go Odunze for that reason, but they'd be happy with either.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those where you look at it and you're like, okay, you know what? Overall, like, if it's not, it doesn't have to be this or that. It's kind of just like whichever one you decide to take, you are ultimately getting two very different players in terms of play style and skill set, but you're still getting guys that are going to go ahead and have an impact from day one in your offense. But let's just say, you know, you decide to trade down from ninth overall. Which teams do you see jumping up to take a quarterback? Because at that point, I mean, I look at the draft board and I kind of say there's a realistic chance that Jaden Daniels probably isn't there. That kind of leaves JJ McCarthy as the only one that's going to be there. And again, you know, if you're not a Michigan fan and you don't watch a lot of JJ McCarthy, you know, people are certainly going to have concerns from him, but there's enough there in the toolbox to say, yeah, he can certainly be a really good player at the next level.
Yeah. Look, those three teams that are right outside of the top 10, Minnesota, Denver, Las Vegas, if they haven't already traded up at that point in the draft to go get a quarterback, those are the three teams that you're calling. And you're basically saying, I don't really care how far I move back. Like, there's not a big difference for me between like 11 and 13. So essentially you're putting them all three in a bidding war against the other, because that's the last big quarterback, I think, again, out of the big four that we talk about as potential starters, or like guys who have the biggest, it seems like the NFL is the most in on when it comes to being potential starters at the next level. You're calling one of those three teams and you're just trying to drive up the price as much as possible. You know, I mean, if I'm getting a little bit further down the line, you know, I would argue like maybe Seattle, but Seattle just traded for Sam Howell. So I don't really know where they're at with quarterback. They still have Geno Smith, but it seems like they're not really all in on him. I wonder if the Rams at 19 then become the furthest that Chicago would be willing to go back, if the Rams are willing to give up multiple first round picks to move up 10 spots to go get JJ McCarthy, to put him behind Matthew Stafford, knowing that Stafford has toyed with retirement before. You get that guy in there, he doesn't have to start this year. Stafford's going to start this year. He gets to learn from Stafford. He gets to learn from McVay. And then you got McCarthy on the team in the future. So I look at those three teams mainly that are right out of the top 10. But if you want to go even further down, maybe you call the Rams and see what they're willing to move up for a guy like McCarthy.
Yeah, and the Rams are a team that I honestly look at and say, you know, they are going to part with a first round pick if they feel like, hey, you know, the price is completely right for us. But I got two more for you here. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of look at this young team, you know, where they're at in terms of what they're going to go and do. How do you think some of the free agency moves that they've made on Monday and Tuesday, you know, bringing in Gerald Everett, bringing in a guy like DeAndre Swift, how do you think that that impacts the way that Poles basically approach the draft? Because now you have, you know, a really good running back in the backfield. You also have a solid tight end, which this team has had some good, but not necessarily great or even solid tight end depth over the last couple of years. And, you know, they signed another linebacker. The Bears went out and basically traded for Ryan Bates, signed Matt Pryor in free agency just to kind of shore things up.
Look, I like a lot of their moves, kind of like what I was saying before. You know, you mentioned there's some less headline-y kind of guys like you have on the offensive line. You've got a starter in DeAndre Swift, and I think they got good running backs behind him as well in Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson. But you got a starter in Kevin Byard. You got an experienced guy in Jonathan Owens as well. So I love what they did in free agency because it wasn't the splashiest free agency class, but I feel like it truly now gives them the ability to navigate the draft the way that they want, however the board is going to fall. They now have full control over taking number one overall and then doing what they want to do with that number nine overall pick, whether it's stick at nine, whether it's get more aggressive, whether it's trade down, whether it's offense, whether it's defense. I think it's going to be offense. They're setting themselves up for two major offensive pieces. And then again, like kind of going back to the beginning of the podcast, when I look at this depth chart, if you give me one of Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze and you give me Caleb Williams on this team, boom. Playoffs, playoff aspirations. Like that's what the goal needs to then be, the playoffs. You have put yourself in a situation to where the team is good enough to make the playoffs. So that's, I really like what they have done in free agency. It wasn't a break the bank type of free agency, but I thought it was the exact kind of one that they needed to kind of complete the holes on their team moving forward. And we'll obviously see what happens with Justin Fields, whether he stays, goes, what the price is, all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, if you're not a Bears fan, I feel like they're just one of the most intriguing teams to kind of watch. But last one for you here. What do you think is going to be considered a successful NFL draft for Chicago outside of maybe the first and the ninth overall pick, selecting that quarterback wide receiver tandem? Because you still have two fourths. You've got your 1/3 round pick too. So what do you think the Bears need to do to come away with a successful draft class to where, you know, Ryan Poles can confidently say, hey, I've got this team set up to compete for the next basically 10 to 12 seasons?
Yeah, when I look at things outside of 1 and 9, I would say that the remaining three picks they have, heavy emphasis on the trenches. I think whatever the better value is for an offensive tackle, an interior offensive lineman, an interior defensive lineman, an edge rusher. To me, at least two of those three picks that they have should be in the trenches, should be one of those sides. You could even double dip if you want to, but then I'd probably say, okay, use all three then, go on the other side, try to help that out. But to me, those are almost like luxury picks where I just try to take a stab or a home run swing at one of those guys in the trenches and maybe you strike gold with one of them. To me, that would be what I would love to see from Chicago with that 3rd round pick and the 2 4th rounders. Emphasize the trenches, at least 2 out of those 3 go into the trenches, but I'd even be cool with all 3 of them being trench picks if it ended up that way.
Yeah, and I know for a fact the Bears have kind of been at a lot of these bowl games just doing their homework on all these guys in the trenches, whether it's, you know, top prospects or whether it's kind of guys in that are going to hear their names called, you know, on day 2 or 3. But Dre, this has been a pleasure. Where can people kind of follow you on Twitter and keep up with your work?
Yeah, at Tampa Bay Trey on Twitter and Instagram, pff.com for all the written stuff. Anybody out there who wants to go get the draft guide, it's live right now, so you can see all the scouting reports and the strengths and weaknesses and all that. We got 150 guys out there right now. We're going to try to get 250 by the time that we get to draft weekend. But dude, it's so great to talk to you here on the show. I appreciate you having me, and this is a lot of fun to do, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks so much for hopping on here. And, you know, we're definitely going to have to do this, you know, again sometime in the future.
Absolutely. Sounds good to me.